All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and go back to the book of the Revelation, chapter 20. I'm going to try and finish up the 20th chapter this evening. Have something, now quit. I'm going to do my best, all right? And it hurts when you laugh at me. Yeah, it just hurts my feelings, I'm so sensitive, you know.
We know.
Yeah. Oh, you woke up.
Yes.
Well, good to have you with us.
Thank you. I've never
been
here before.
Do what?
I've never been here before. It's nice to be here.
Oh, John. Wish I had a dollar for every time I've said, oh, John. All right. We are looking at the beginning of the millennial reign, and we have seen some neat things. Last week we looked at the fact that the dead, if you look at verse 5, says but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. And then this is the first resurrection. And so you remember that there are three parts to the resurrection. It is portrayed in the Bible like a harvest. And with every harvest you have the first fruits of that harvest, and then you have the main harvest, and then you have the gleanings. And of course, the Lord Jesus was the first fruits, according to the Bible scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about that, how Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. And then the main harvest is going to be the rapture of the church. And that's when all the dead in Christ are raised first. Then those of us that remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. All right, so that little phrase is very important. So shall we ever be with the Lord. All right, so the very fact that you're saved guarantees you a resurrection, and that resurrection is going to happen for you at the rapture. And so he then talks about the gleanings, and the gleanings are the souls that are saved or will be saved during the tribulation period. Now, the Apostle Paul over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 spoke about how that when the Lord comes back, that there's going to be a lot of deception. The Antichrist is going to lie and cheat and deceive the world, and those who follow him are going to end up paying the ultimate price for following the devil. All right? And so so Paul talked about how that there will be, though, a lot of folks who will get saved. And those folks who get saved are the ones who have not had a clear presentation of the gospel given to them. And trust me, folks, that is a huge number in our world today. A huge number. As a matter of fact, the Lord said that this number of people who will be saved during the tribulation period is so large, no man could number it. That's how many folks. You say, well, how are they going to hear the gospel? Well, they're going to hear the gospel from the two witnesses that are going to be at the gates of the temple, and they're going to preach the gospel. And the Bible talks about how every eye shall see them. All right, so how's every eye going to see them? Well, back 2,000 years ago, that phrase probably seemed quite strange to anybody who read what the Bible says about the matter. And they probably scoffed and said, oh, there's no way the whole world could see these people. There's just no way. But now, 2,000 years later, with satellites up in orbit running into each other, and the ability to send the signals and the World Wide Web and everything that is connected to that, yeah, you'll be able to pull it up on your phone and watch it, or your iPad and watch it. It's going to be on the news, I'm sure, and every eye shall see him. But the point is, there's going to be a gleaning so far as the resurrection is concerned. Now, the gleanings were under the law of Moses. Those gleanings were the harvest in the corners, okay, in the corners of your field, and you were to leave those. You were not to glean those. You were to leave them there, and then the poor and the infirmed and the weak and so on and so forth. Those who could not earn a living would come, and they would help themselves to the crops that you left in the field. And so those people are the gleanings, the souls that will be saved during the tribulation period, who are going to die a martyr's death in the tribulation period. So they will die for the cause of Christ. And then we are told in the last part of verse 4 that they are also going to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years, just like we are, just like all of us that were taken up in the main harvest are going to rule and reign with the Lord for 1,000 years. And then down at the end of verse 5, it says, this is the first resurrection. Now, I've told you before that in the English language, a verb has three tenses. It has past, present, and future. All right? Did y'all learn that? Okay. I didn't learn it. I just read it somewhere. I don't know what happened. I know I was in school when all this went on, but I didn't get it. So evidently I wasn't paying attention. I can't imagine that, but nonetheless. Anyway, no comments, John, no comments. No comments out of you either. All right, so the point is, there are three tenses to a verb in English. There is past, there is present, and there is future. All right? I was, or I have been, or I am present, or I will be future. All right? So, but in the Greek language, there are 40 tenses to a verb. 40. That's 40. That's why Greek is so difficult. Okay? And that's what makes it so difficult, because there are 40 tenses to a verb. And it is the ending or the prefix that is put on that word that gives it the meaning that that was intended. All right? Now, when you see this is the first resurrection, the idea is This is the completion, the fulfillment of the first resurrection. Okay? It is over. When the gleanings, when the tribulation saints are brought out from under the altar, their souls, notice that it's their souls. In verse 4, I saw the souls of them, okay, not their bodies, but their souls. You are a soul, okay? You are a soul. It is the real you. And when you physically die, your eternal soul either goes to heaven because you're saved, or it goes to hell because you're not. It's not complicated. And so what you read here, when the tribulation saints get their glorified bodies, when they have their resurrection, then that is the completion of the first resurrection. So you've got Christ. He's already resurrected. He's the first fruits. You've already got rapture, the resurrected Christ is in chapter 1. All right? Then the raptured saints, the church, are in chapter 4. And then the raptured tribulation saints, resurrected saints, tribulation saints, are right here in verse 4. So the first resurrection is completed. It's done. Everybody who needs a resurrection for heaven and a glorified body, because these bodies aren't equipped for heaven, okay? They're not equipped for heaven, all right? So when you hear these folks talking about how, you know, they went to heaven, walked around and saw Jesus and saw this and saw that, I don't believe it. I'm sorry, but I just don't believe it. These bodies aren't ready. They're not heaven prepared. All right? So at the rapture, what happens to us? We are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we get our glorified bodies. That body is ready for heaven. All right? That's your glorified body, your new body that Paul talked about. All right, so that is the first resurrection. Now, look at verse 6. It said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Well, we know the Lord Jesus is blessed and holy, don't we? And then at the rapture, we're all going to get our glorified bodies, and so we are going to be blessed and holy, finally. All right, and then the tribulation saints are going to get theirs, and they will be blessed and holy. I mean, my goodness, we're in heaven. We get to spend eternity with the resurrected, victorious Son of God. Don't get any better than that. All right, so blessed and holy will be anyone who has a part in the first resurrection. Now notice this. On such, the second death hath no power. Amen. Yes, indeed. Amen. Second death hath no power. Now, what's the first death? That's physical death. But the second death is a spiritual death. And if you have a part in the first resurrection, then the second death, spiritual death, has no part with you. Amen. It cannot touch you. It cannot affect you. All right? I don't know how John could have made that any more clear. On such, the second death hath no power. But those of us in the first resurrection, no matter whether you're tribulation gleanings or you're the main harvest rapture, those of us who are resurrected in the first resurrection, we shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So during the millennial reign, we rule and reign with Christ. That's a great promise right there. A great promise. All right, now, that brings us to verse 7. Look at verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. All right, now, let's go back up to, I say back up because it's at the top of the page in my Bible, but look at chapter 19 for just a moment and verse 20. All right, 19 and verse 20. It says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. All right? That's the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, the ones that caused all the trouble during the tribulation period. Then look, please, if you will, at verse 1 of chapter 20. And here is the other part of the satanic Godhead, small g. All right? He says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So while the millennial reign of Christ happens, the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. And I told you last week, there is, once you're in the lake of fire, you don't get out. You are there for eternity. Now, the devil, however, Satan, was not yet thrown into the lake of fire. He was bound in a chain, and he was cast into the bottomless pit. All right, now, look carefully here. It says, and when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan was loosed out of the bottomless pit, his prison. He was bound up there for 1,000 years. It was a prison cell for him. And shall go out, verse 8, to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog. Does that ring any bells with anybody? Gog and Magog? Sure. Those are the nations that Ezekiel said were going to be at the Battle of Armageddon in Ezekiel 38. All right, so here's 1,000 years later. 1,000 years later. And notice an old enemy is revisited. Oh, the devil knows how to work things, doesn't he? He knows how to work things. He doesn't go down to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. He doesn't do that. He goes to those that throughout history he has been able to deceive over and over and over again. That's pretty slick if you ask me. All right? And so Gog and Magog, to gather them together to what? Battle. Wow. The number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So in other words, folks, in 1,000 years, no matter how depleted of humanity the earth is going to be after the tribulation and the battle of Armageddon, let me remind you, it only took two, Adam and Eve. All right? Now be thankful it wasn't Adam and Steve, because they couldn't reproduce. All right, trying to help you here, not hurt you. All right. I know, it's terrible, isn't it? I got news for you, folks. Male and female created he them. There are not all these, 59 different genders. No, male and female created he them. Period. All right, I'll be thrown off of social media now for a month. Anyway, that's fine. They got the truth anyway, didn't they? So, Gog and Magog, and he's going to stir them up, and there's going to be a lot of them. Now, think about from Adam and Eve to Noah. 2,000 years thereabouts, and the Bible says that the earth was full. It was full. All right? Now, think about from the flood till today. Well, it's full again. It's full again. And so there's going to be a generation who will somehow or another survive the tribulation period, and they will enter into the millennium. You say, well, are they going to die during the millennium? No. They're going to live. You say 1,000 years? Just like they did before the flood. Yes. Remember, Methuselah, 985 years? Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get that old, do you? You wouldn't have any eyes. You wouldn't have any hearing. You wouldn't have any teeth. Well, I'm going to get a new body. That's different. I ain't going to count years then, are you? I'm not. Won't need Medicare. Won't need Social Security. All right, anyway, y'all want to teach this? All right, so you've got all these people, I don't know how many, but by the time you get to the end of that 1,000 years, just the number that will follow Satan is a number that is as the sand of the sea. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what is it going to take to convince men that God is God and Jesus is his son and he died for our sins and heaven is real and hell is real? I mean, is man ever going to get it? Well, according to this,
lake of fire will do it.
No. Yeah, lake of fire is going to wake them up, isn't it? But that's sad that they have to wait till they get to the lake of fire before they realize. You know, you think about the rich man down in hell. Folks, think about that. He's still there tonight. His conditions have not improved. His conditions have not improved. And he knows that he can't get out. That's why he said to Abraham, have Lazarus go back to my five brothers and tell them not to come to this awful place. He knows he's not going to get out. As a matter of fact, his only reprieve will be at the end here in verse 11, when he is brought out to stand at the great white throne judgment and hear those fateful and final words, depart from me, I never knew you. And then he's in the lake of fire forever. What's it going to take to get men to wake up? Evidently they don't. Evidently they don't. All right. Gog and Magog. All right. Let me have you go back to Genesis for just a moment. Wait till I find it and I'll tell you where to go. It's the first book, I know that. Oh, you guys, I tell you. Y'all are so funny. So funny. All right, let's go to chapter 10 for just a moment. All right, the flood is over. The flood is over. Now, you remember that Noah had three sons. One was Shem, the other was Ham, and the other was Japheth. Three sons, according to verse 1. All right, notice that. And unto them were sons born, what's the next three words? After the flood. All right, now watch this. The sons of Japheth. And by the way, Japheth means scattered abroad. That's what that word means. Scattered abroad. And Japheth is, if you go down to verse 5, it says, by these were the isles of the what?
Gentiles.
So Japheth is the father of the Gentiles. You say, well, what's a Gentile? Anybody's not a Jew. All right? If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. All right, now watch. You know, as they say down in West Virginia, I'm going to learn you something here. All right, look at it. The sons of Japheth. Now pay attention to this. Gomer. And who?
Magog.
There he is. There he is. The sons of Japheth. Gomer and Magog. And Madai. And Javan. And Tubal. And Meshech, and Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, and it just keeps going, and the sons of Javan, and it just keeps going, and the sons of Javan, verse 4, look at it, Elisha, not the same one in 2 Kings, all right, Elisha, and Tarshish. You know where Tarshish is? Huh? In Turkey. It's in Turkey. Oh, by the way, so is Kittim and Dodanim, and so is, back in verse 2, Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tiras. They're all in Turkey. Now, folks, I don't know if you've ever gotten a map and seriously looked at Turkey, it's huge. It is huge. And there are just, I mean, it's a beautiful country. Beautiful country. And when the Greeks went and conquered that area, they loved it. They absolutely loved it. And they came by the boatloads and built cities and towns, and they loved it. All right? And all that area was inhabited by the sons of Japheth. All right? And Magog was one of those sons. So in the devil's final rebellion in Revelation 20, what do we see? Well, we see that the devil goes back to his alma mater, so to speak. All right? He goes back to those he knows, and he stirs them once again to rise up against God. Now remember, during the millennial reign, the earth is air conditioned once again. I don't know if God's going to put the canopy back over. I don't know. It does not say. But it's all going to be like the Garden of Eden. It's all going to be perfect. I mean, we're going to live in a world where it was like it was in the Garden of Eden. No crime, no war, no external temptation to sin. There will be the personal presence of all the resurrected saints ruling and reigning with Christ, and even Christ himself. The Lord Jesus is going to be sitting upon the throne of David and ruling and reigning from there. And so what happens? Well, Satan and all his splendor and glory is going to be let loose. And I personally think, this is just my opinion, all right? Opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. And this is mine. I think that the devil is going to be loosed here, it says, for a season. All right? Now, how long's a season? Well, you know, normally what, 3 months? 3 months? Normally. Okay, so he's going to be loose. Well, what's he going to do? He is going to do what Peter said. He is going to go up and down, to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, he's good at it. You know, he's done it before. And I think that what he's going to do, people are going to be continually born during the millennium. They're not going to be born of us, but from the people that are alive on the earth who did not get destroyed through the tribulation period. Those folks aren't going to die. And so children will be born. And folks, those people who are born are going to have to make the same decision that you and I have been asked to make by the Holy Spirit. Am I going to trust Christ, or am I going to reject Christ? And I think the idea is this. They're going to follow Satan, a great number. They're going to follow Satan, and they're going to rebel, and they're going to try to kick Jesus off the throne so that Satan can rule and reign. And I think that the point that God is going to make is this. Even though for 1,000 years, I gave you a perfect environment, you lived for 1,000 years. The hospitals all crumbled and turned to dust. The doctors all had to find new line of work. The funeral home directors all went out of business because nobody died. The power company, no more need for them because the earth is air conditioned. 72 every day. Pretty cool, huh? No, it's not hot. It's hot for you, but not for everybody. You'll have a new body. All right? Or at least I hope you do. This is Donna. Huh? For 5 minutes, yeah. Yeah. And even though the environment is perfect, and you've had all you needed, the food was there, you had access to the throne. We rule and reign, all right? Let's say I'm ruling Westminster, and somebody comes and says, can you go, Pastor, can you go ask the Lord for such and such? So I bop over to Jerusalem and say, got a request. All right? And, you know, our needs are met. Our God is there. We can see Him. We can fellowship with Him. I mean, it's perfect. The lamb will lay down with the lion. The child will take an asp and play with it. Well, none of my kids. I still won't let them. Leave snakes alone. Don't play with snakes. You see the point? And even though everything's perfect, God's going to say, you still rebelled against me. I gave you everything, every opportunity, and you still rejected me and followed that old rotten devil. And so when, go back to Revelation, let me show you. So when in chapter 20, oh, by the way, fire comes down out of heaven, look at verse 9, and destroys them. And then in verse 10, the devil that deceived him was cast into the what? All right, now who's already there? The beast and the false prophet. So they're cast into the, all three of them now, the satanic godhead, small g, are in the lake of fire. And it says where the beast and the false prophet are. They're already there. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. Wonder what that means. It means forever and ever, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, by the way, when you got saved, you were given everlasting life. And that too means forever and ever and ever. All right. So what if I sin? Not what if. You're going to sin, but you still have everlasting life. Your sins are forgiven. All right. Now look at verse 11. Here it is. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Small and great. That just grieves me to have to even read that. And the books were open. What is that? That's the Bible. All 66 of them. And the books, plural, were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. What'd you do with Jesus? Wow. You know, it's pretty clear. The Lord Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again." You must be. You just must. You say, but no, you must be. There's no other way. All right? Then it says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Now we saw the that if you have a part in the first resurrection over in verse 6, then the second death can't touch you. But if you don't have a part in the resurrection, and the only way you're not going to have a part in that resurrection is because you've rejected Christ. So, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So I think that at the beginning of the millennium, God is going to take the devil, he's going to bind him with a chain and throw him down in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. The beast, the Antichrist, they're bound and cast into the lake of fire. It's over for them. At the end of that 1,000-year millennial reign, perfect environment on the earth. Perfect. Everything is ideal. And God is going to go down and let that rascal free for a season. And he is going to, in a season, rally together a huge number of followers. And I think what God is doing is he is saying to everybody at this great white throne judgment, "Folks, I gave you every opportunity in the world to do the right thing. Amen. I gave you every opportunity in the world to serve my son. Amen. And you rejected it." Amen. And even though the environment was perfect, it wasn't enough for you, was it? And therefore, God is going to be justified in casting death and hell into the lake of fire. You understand that? I think that's what's going on. All right, that's chapter 20, folks. And we will, the millennium's over now, okay? The millennium's over. If you look at verse 1 in chapter 21, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." It's gone. It's gone. But we're getting a new one. We're getting a new one. So it's going to be good. All right, so we'll pick it up there next Wednesday night. All right. Father, thank you now for the word. Thank you so much for what we can glean and what we can get. Father, I just thank you for all these precious and wonderful promises that are ours. We have a Savior who loves us and who is going to give us a resurrection just like he resurrected from the grave. We're going to have a resurrection. And Father, we are so thankful for that promise. I'm looking forward to that day when our faith will be turned into sight and we will see you face to face. But Father, until that day comes, help us to stay in the book. Help us to trust you and to realize that the word of the Lord is true. So bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.